Chapter 3. Escalator of Life. A new painting appeared in the Temple of the Master. The artist had only recently painted it using a sketch from the Guardian of Knowledge. It had taken its rightful place alongside other examples of objective art, which the students already had the opportunity to examine and ask the Guardian about the symbolic meaning of each detail. They had yet to see the new painting. Some of the students decided to come early to set themselves up with the right perception and think about what they would like to ask the sage and what interpretations they would like to receive. Objective art was different from ordinary art. It was not just a harmonious blend of color, form, and content as in an ordinary painting. Every detail of the image had a deep meaning, which could only be brought to the surface with explanations from someone who had already mastered this knowledge. In the central part of the new painting, an escalator was depicted. It was large, wide, and modern, with translucent glass walls and reliable railings. There were people on the escalator. They stood carelessly on the steps of the moving stairs and did not even notice that it inevitably dragged them down, where, at the very end, there was a pit already filled with fallen people. Looking at the expressions on their faces, one could tell that the people in the pit were clearly suffering and tormented. They stretched out their arms and tried to shout for help. However, the people on the escalator did not hear them. Moreover, they did not seem to notice them at all. They were minding their own business, as well as not noticing where the escalator was taking them. On the escalator, two pretty young women were drinking from martini glasses and deep in conversation. A little lower down the stairs stood a fat man and a woman who looked not young, but not yet old. Their faces were puffy, malicious, and irritated. They looked as if they had been doing nothing but arguing with each other for years. Even lower on the escalator stood a businessman or politician, totally absorbed in his work. He wore an expensive suit, high-status briefcase, and polished shoes. Standing with one foot in the pit, he kept talking to someone over his cell phone. The man was still young, and he had enough money, but there was already a deep wrinkle between his eyes on the bridge of his nose. Apparently, his money and his work brought him neither moral pleasure nor harmony nor happiness. "I wonder who this character is," thoughtfully said a fair-haired student, looking at the ephemerally painted figure of a horned hare, which a disheveled man was trying to catch. The hare, meanwhile, was clearly taunting its pursuer, sticking out its tongue at the man. "It doesn't look realistic compared to everything else in the painting," shrugged the young guy who was standing nearby. "Maybe it just symbolizes our sick imagination." "Yeah, maybe," the young woman said, nodding kindly at her friend. She shifted her gaze to the painting again and examined the figure of a man who was the only one running up the escalator. He was running quite briskly and intently, making an effort to get faster, to overcome the downward motion of the escalator. Apparently, his actions were successful, and he had indeed already begun to climb the stairs. Meanwhile, more and more students came into the hall, and the space gradually filled with a steady hum. The new painting attracted everyone's attention, and many students gathered around it. When the master entered the hall, everyone turned to him and parted reverently. The guardian of the knowledge gave their students a loving look, greeted them, and pointed to the canvas with an open hand. "We have a new painting," he said in a deep voice that had powerful energy and a sonorous vibration. "It is called the Escalator of Life. Tell me, beloved master, how should we interpret this painting?" The fair-haired young woman, who came before the others and was now standing very close to the painting, asked enthusiastically. "We can find so many details in it. Tell us what they mean." Our life turns out to be an escalator going downhill. Yes, Radha, it is, Sage confirmed. Life is an escalator that takes us down. Everything in the world moves, so you can't just stand in one place. You either make an effort, start taking control of your life and run upward actively. Or you stay in one place and go downward. See how people fall into a pit at the end of the escalator? He pointed to the bottom of the picture. What do you think it symbolizes? The master shifted his gaze from the painting to the girl and looked at the other students with inquiry, encouraging them to think about the answer. Could it be death? A tall, skinny young man with a striking cheekbony face suggested. People live out their lives and then fall into the grave. It's a fate that spares no one. You can't escape it. The young man hesitated. He looked at the figure of the man who was running up the escalator, and then shifted his gaze to the sage with incomprehension and doubt. Or, could you? The keeper of knowledge smiled enigmatically and began to explain in detail. Maxim, to be saved from falling, one must run upwards. To do this, one must be active, make an effort. You see, he pointed to the human figures standing on the steps, all these people are careless on the escalator. They don't understand that it is going down. Some spend their lives at social parties, some chase the fairy jackalope, some devote all their energy to making money. Some cloud their mind with alcohol, overeat and satisfy only bodily needs, while others live in continuous stress and negativity, swear and are always dissatisfied with everything. But none of them think about where this escalator will take them. Thus, there is a process of degradation. People do not want to take active action, it is much easier to swim with the tide. In the end, they all end up falling into the grave. Master, what about this man who runs up? Radha asked. Can he really avoid falling into that pit? Yes, he can, but in order to do so, a person must make an enormous effort to overcome the movement of the escalator and begin to run upwards faster than it, the sage answered, looking meaningfully at the young woman. If you don't make such an effort, if you do not start running upwards, if you do not begin to develop, there will be no salvation. It is important to understand that if we do not develop at a given moment, there is degradation. We cannot stay in one place. No development, we automatically start moving downward. No matter what we do. No effort means the grave for everyone. Master, can I ask what kind of effort it should be? The fair-haired woman asked again. It's not just physical effort, is it? Well, in the painting we see running, but it seems to me that the effort has to be on several levels. You do not let yourself degrade physically. You cultivate joy in the emotional center, and you also try to understand something, you think, on the mental level. Am I right in thinking that the combination of these different efforts is what pulls you up the escalator? That's right. The effort has to be made on the three centers. It's very good that you have come to this realization. The sage praised his student. And we try to change ourselves in the three centers. We try to make efforts, to take active actions. And only this enables us to transform ourselves. Is the physical level very important? Maxim asked. What happens if you develop the other two levels but, for example, if you lead a sedentary life, if you don't exercise? If we don't move on the physical level, the master explained, if our body is not active, sooner or later it will become sick. we will become overweight, and our internal organs will become covered in a layer of fat. The risk of death from heart attack or other diseases will increase. That's why you need to keep moving forward, to be active, to do sports. What kind of sports are better? Maxim asked again. Does it make any difference? Dot. Any kind of sport, the sage answered. Everyone can choose what suits them best. Swimming, jogging, fitness training, dancing, figure skating or volleyball. It doesn't matter. What matters is the opportunity to move, to be physically active. Beloved master, asked a petite woman of athletic build, do I understand correctly that this principle of activity should be manifested in all spheres of life? In work, in relationships? Yes, Svetlana, in all of them, confirmed the guardian of knowledge. For example, in your career. To achieve something, you must run against the wind all the time, take initiative, strive to improve your own results, and do everything as well as you can. No matter what you do. Why are people poor? Because they don't want to make the effort. They think, well, I've worked long hours, and in the evening I'll sit quietly in front of the TV and watch a soap opera. They are afraid to take the initiative. They don't want to do anything beyond what is required of them. Oh. I have so many examples of people working in an office and spending most of their time there playing solitaire on the computer, Svetlana responded vividly. And then at the end of the reporting period they do everything in a rush, as they have been doing since they were in college. That's why if people don't show any activity and just sit and wait for the working day to be over, then they don't grow in their careers, and they don't succeed, added the guardian, and vice versa. The person who is constantly active, offers new ideas, takes training, learns and improves, and shows initiative very quickly advances in their career. Top management notices them, and they are entrusted with high-profile projects and negotiations, offered more highly paid positions, or they start their own business. We're talking about such a person who does not tread water, does not stand still. To use our analogy, they always walk up the escalator. The sage pointed to the man in the picture who was actively climbing the stairs. Does this proverb, no pain, no gain, describe what you mean? Radha asked. Yes, that's right, the master answered unequivocally. What about credit? Can we say that it is a way to avoid activity? Svetlana asked. Because you do nothing and the money appears out of nowhere and you can buy what you want. When people take credit, the correct sequence is broken, the sage began to explain in a steady, confident voice. A person does not follow the sequence to achieve something first, and then get a well-deserved reward, but vice versa. A person will do nothing, get money right away, and then waste time and health, trying to pay off creditors and pay all the interest. As a result, the person doesn't actively move. They get the benefits they need instantly. Use them fast, and during this time they don't develop, they don't go upward. Therefore, they are carried to the abyss even faster. Master, what about relationships? The student asked with enthusiasm. Is the principle of activity observed there, too? Is it universal? In the woman's voice one could hear the joy of a realization she seemed to have made right now, during the spiritual conversation. Yes, the principle of activity is universal, replied the master with a smile. It can be applied to any area of life. It works in relationships, too. For example, many women spend their lives waiting for their prince, like Asol from the book Scarlet Sails, a famous novel that tells about a young girl Asol, who was waiting for her only one to sail to her from distant places by a ship under the scarlet sails. There is no effort, no activity, and as a result, they spend their lives waiting. If any man appears in their life, it is one who has a lower level of energy than they do. What do you mean? Radha joined the conversation. Society assumes that all activity and initiative in a relationship must come from a man, he began to clarify. But in fact, this is another illusion. A woman must first be active and choose a man to show her interest. If a woman doesn't show any activity towards a man, only those who want to use her energy, alcoholics, parasites, or family tyrants, will approach her. It will be just those who have already rolled down the escalator. The master gave the audience a meaningful look. So, to find a successful, bright, rich boyfriend, you have to go there, up the escalator. Radha exclaimed excitedly. That's where these men are. Sage's lips curved in a bright smile. Exactly. You have to be more active and brighter yourself. You have to make an effort all the time. You can't wait for happiness to come one day. It does not happen that way. You must develop, improve yourself, and show your attention in order to find a worthy man. If a woman does not do this, then she will slide down the escalator. And then her relations with the opposite sex will be like this. The master pointed to the place on the painting with the fighting man and woman with puffy faces. Does the principle of activity work in children's education as well? Svetlana asked. Of course, very much so. You should never let your child's upbringing be left to chance and think, oh, let them grow somehow, I won't do anything, I have no time for that. At the same time, your child should also be given the opportunity to be active. Let them attend different classes and clubs. Let them play games with their peers. Only then will they develop properly. But, under the influence of society's attitudes, many parents begin to limit their child's activity. They want to run and jump, but their parents say, don't do it. Sit. Stop. Calm down. Why are you so restless? You need to rest and eat. Eat a spoonful for mommy and a spoonful for daddy. The child is not encouraged to be active, on the contrary. They are taught to be lazy, to be passive, and to overeat. They no longer want to show effort. And then such a person grows up and sits down by the TV or computer. And quickly slides down the escalator to the abyss, sighed Radha sympathetically. Yes. That's the kind of person who just swims with the tide, continued the master. And thinks that somehow happiness will come, that they will become successful all of a sudden. But they do not, and at the end of their life, they realize that they have not achieved anything. What about spiritual development? The realization of our talents, the knowledge of our own way, Maxim asked. Does this principle of activity work for this too? Yes. The guardian replied unambiguously. To follow the spiritual path, to achieve enlightenment, one has to make efforts and be active. If we sit passively and wait for enlightenment, then of course, nothing like that will happen to us. Meditations, training courses, and spiritual practices are a constant effort and involve overcoming oneself. This is true with any direction of life's path. For example, if a person is a talented violinist, a singer, a dancer, or, let's say, a talented scientist, they will not become successful or famous easily. In every way, in every case, You must first prove yourself. Become as active as possible. Look for ways, solutions, study and train hard. Only then can you fully develop your talents. Master, please tell me, why do so many people become ill at the end of their lives? Svetlana asked again. Does it have something to do with whether they are active or not? It has everything to do with that, confirmed the sage. Who usually does not get sick in old age? He asked, looking at his students. Those who were active, Maxim answered half-questioningly. That's right. Those who didn't overeat, who kept their body in good shape. Those who moved constantly. In general, the end of life is very indicative. Why do so many people who were married for a long time suddenly get divorced near the end of their lives? Why do few people live in perfect harmony? The students thought again, pondering the guardian's question. Maybe because they didn't make any effort, didn't develop their relationships, Svetlana suggested. Yes, exactly, the master looked approvingly at his student. Also because they did not look for worthy partners, did not develop themselves and did not advance in any way. So they are content with those who stand next to them on the bottom step of the escalator. What about the financial sphere? Is it the same? Old people are always complaining about small retirement benefits. It's the same, nodded the sage. If at the end of their life, a person expects a retirement benefit from the state and counts only on it, it means that during their life they achieved nothing. They were not bright, they made no effort, and they were afraid to be proactive. The students listened intently to the guardian, and when he finished, a young woman in a simple beige dress stepped forward. Her dark hair was tied up in a rubber band and pulled into a low ponytail, and her brown eyes, luminous with intelligence and insight, were wide open. Beloved master, the woman began softly. I just want to ask you about the grave, she pointed to the pit. What exactly goes there? You say it is possible to avoid the grave. But we're all mortal. Even if we run upstairs all the time, she paused, hesitating slightly. Then a person's body will die anyway. Even if they're on all their life without stopping. So is the grave here for our spiritual part? Or am I misunderstanding? Elena, you understand correctly, the sage affirmed. What I mean is a grave just for the soul. Our body is mortal, but the soul is not. If the person stays in negative emotions, in laziness, in egoism, then the soul suffers in this grave. So this pit, the grave, is our suffering? Elena asked a clarifying question. Yes, you are right. As long as the soul is in an imperfect state, it suffers all the time. It only begins to enjoy itself when it passes into a perfect state, explained the sage, and, after a moment of silence, added. It's this running upwards, the development, that the soul enjoys. Our body will die, but the soul, it will incarnate in another body and, it will suffer the same way in it. It will keep going in another, and in the next incarnations after that, until it understands that it has to evolve, run upwards and enjoy the process. Master, can you tell me, is there a plateau at the top of the escalator that you can run up to and relax? Asked a stocky man in an orange student robe, nodding in the direction of the painting. The sage shook his head. No, Alexander, there is no such plateau, he explained patiently. So it is impossible to relax. But you can learn to run so fast that the escalator will not pull you. The master looked intently at his students to see if they were reading his words correctly. Many people misunderstand what development is, he continued after a short pause. We develop in order to help people, to bring light and goodness to them. One cannot say, well, that's it, I have developed, now I'm going to lie on the sofa, rest and relax. The master smiled, exaggerating the erroneous opinion, to encourage the students to laugh at its absurdity. The audience responded to him with dozens of smiles. If a person thinks they have developed enough, ticks the box and decides to relax, they have not really developed, the sage went on explaining. It means that only one part is developed in them, and all the time a lazy or an egoist part was living in parallel. For example, the egoist part may think as follows. Well, I've developed, now sing me your praises. Now everyone should see what a hero I am. What a good job I have done. If something like this happens, it means that the person has not really developed. They haven't eradicated all the horror and shame of their existence. What do you think will happen to them next? The sage asked, looking questioningly at his students. They'll start to slide down the escalator, answered Radha in a ringing voice and nodded in the direction of the campus. Until they fall into the pit of misery. Other students nodded in agreement, supporting her answer. Yes, the keeper of knowledge confirmed. Such a person will go backwards, down the escalator. Because they do not show effort and activity, and they always think about being lazy. Or their egoism or something else negative comes out all the time. If a person develops, and then at one point they stop and realize that they have had enough, then the escalator immediately starts dragging them down. But if a person has shed their laziness, egoism and negative attitudes, then they are not afraid of the escalator going down. Such a person runs up joyfully. They have learned to run. They have learned to be active. They make an effort to go up, and that process itself brings a lot of happiness. The sage paused again and looked at Alexander, who had asked the question about resting at the end of one's journey. In his eyes gleamed the spark of insight, the profound understanding that had arisen from the master's explanations. Great master, I understand, he said excitedly, his eyes meeting the master's with a burning gaze. We must not think, I've run enough, now I must rest. Now everyone must see how good I am. Now everyone must admire me because I have developed so much and learned to run so fast. We should rejoice in the very process of movement. Yes, Alexander, it's good that you understand that, the guardian nodded kindly. A spiritual person thinks like this. I have learned to run, and I will entice other people who are going carelessly down. I will wake them up. I will run even faster and help other people run. That's why such a person doesn't think about relaxation or praises. They don't think about it, they just run faster and faster and faster. And the faster they run, the easier it becomes. Because they think about how to become better and more perfect, how to help people more. They live only with these thoughts. If a person lives by these thoughts, then do they develop? Alexander asked, inspired by the master's words. Yes, the sage nodded approvingly. The person runs and pulls the crowd of other people after them. They run and run, and run. They are happy. They are happy that they can run. There is movement and development. It brings them pleasure and enjoyment. If a person thinks, I don't enjoy the development, but it's good to be lazy and negative, then they have not understood anything yet. So they are still going downhill. They think, oh, well, if they don't praise me, I won't run any further. They should get excited about running upwards. And when they run, if they start enjoying it and take pleasure in it, it means they are on the right track. Great, Maxim bowed his head respectfully. I just remembered a story that happened at the airport. There was an escalator there, too. A real one, the young man smiled. Can I tell you briefly? When he was given the gesture of consent, he spoke again. Well, there was a man who had forgotten his briefcase in the waiting room on the second floor. He happened to be going down the escalator just as the boarding was finishing. In that moment, he realized his money and documents were upstairs, but the only way to get back upstairs was to take another escalator which was in the far wing. But if he did that, he would definitely not make it in time and would miss his flight. In the end, he decided to run up the escalator which was going down. Listening to Maxim's story, other students reacted eagerly with comments. "It's just like in the painting," smiled Rada. "How does it work? Did it work?" Alexander asked. "Well, he tried very hard," Maxim went on with his story. "He sweat a lot because of the efforts he was making. And people began to tell him that he would never make it, that he should go to another escalator or an elevator. But that man was so stubborn. He didn't listen to anyone and put all his efforts into making the flight. It wasn't easy for him, but he didn't give up and ended up really climbing. You should have seen how happy he was. His face was glowing from happiness. He found his bag, his documents, and still had time to get on the plane. It's a beautiful illustration," said the guardian. "It shows just how important it is to make an effort to achieve a goal, and how satisfying it can feel afterwards." When the master finished explaining, a middle-aged student, as one could see by the wrinkles in the corners of her eyes, stepped forward. Although not a young woman, she was bright and very feminine. Her wavy hair fell to her shoulders in a golden waterfall. It was beautifully illuminated by the sunlight that came in through the wide panoramic window to her right. "Tell me, beloved master," she began respectfully, "do I understand correctly that the painting shows the objective causes of death to our soul? Work, lack of selectivity, chasing imaginary jackalopes. Basically, our illusions and our bad habits." "Yes, Mila, that's right," confirmed the sage, pointing with his palm to the painting with the escalator. "Here is a picture of all the reasons why we slow us down. Let's look again at this man running after a jackalope. Master, what does the jackalope symbolize?" Rada asked, not missing an opportunity to ask an interesting question. "Our sick fantasies. These are the illusions that people live in day by day," the guardian began to explain. "These illusions are what exist in our imagination. The wrong ideas about ourselves, the stereotypes that society has imposed on people, the patterns of behavior and our fantasies. They can be compared to the hallucinations of a schizophrenic, mentally ill person, when they see some image of a jackalope in their fantasies. In general, a person is as free as possible in their fantasies. They can imagine anything and anyone they want. But, do you think schizophrenic hallucinations are real? Are the objects created by our imagination real?" The guardian asked the question to all the students, encouraging them to ponder the answer. The students were thinking, their faces reflecting an active thinking process. They tried to understand what the guardian was trying to tell them. "Master, isn't the answer obvious and self-evident?" Rada answered with some surprise. "Unreal, of course, if it is a fantasy, a figment of a sick imagination, or is there some hidden meaning?" The sage smiled enigmatically. "What if I told you they were real?" Rada's eyebrows rose in confusion, and a trace of surprise flashed across other students' faces. "Real? How could they be? You're not saying the jackalope is real somewhere, are you?" "Yes," the guardian answered confidently, "but not in the physical plane. They are in the subtle plane. In the ethereal world, the jackalope is real. It exists there, just as spirits, for example, that shamans see. Just like, for example, ghosts or angels. But there is a big difference between the imaginary objects of a schizophrenic and a healthy person. What do you think it is?" The students thought again, and the master didn't rush them. He gave them time to think, taking a long pause. Maybe a healthy person can separate fiction from reality, and a sick person cannot, Maxim suggested. Yes, well done, the sage praised his student. The difference is that a healthy person leaves all the fantasies in their head and does not try to find them in reality. They know that they do not exist in reality. All these visions, figments of the imagination, etc. Everything exists, but only in the subtle plane. A schizophrenic tries to convince other people that the same jackalope exists in the physical plane. They do it with maniacal persistence, while trying to find it, opening closets, looking for it under the bed, walking through forests, etc. They start hysterically trying to prove this jackalope to everyone, saying, I know it exists. I've seen it with my own eyes. If I have seen it, then this is the truth. If you don't believe it, then you're nuts. The master portrayed the words of the mentally ill in such a funny way, so authentically, that a wave of smiles swept through the rows of the students. After several attempts to prove that there is a jackalope, the mentally ill person is placed in a mental hospital and fed pills there, the guardian of knowledge continued to explain. That's the main difference. If a person begins to seek their fantasies in the physical plane, they become insane. So this painting here shows a real schizophrenic, mentally ill person, Radha asked, pointing to the man on the escalator who was trying to catch the shimmering ephemeral figure of a non-existent animal. If you look more broadly, you could say that all people are mentally ill like that. They think their fantasies are reality. They try to find the fruits of their own imagination in the physical world, to find their illusions. And it inevitably makes them suffer. Master, what kind of illusions could those be? Elena asked a question. Please, give us an example, so we can understand better. Illusions of all kinds, Master answered. For example, when a woman expects that a prince on a white horse must come for her, and she does not make any efforts for that, she just sits and waits. Just like Asol waited for her Captain Gray on the shore, Radha asked. Yes, nodded the guardian. It happens because the girls are instilled with this idea, this illusion, from their childhood. It is repeated in fairy tales, in cartoons, in TV series. And the girls grow up and think that if they sit on the shore and wait a long time, like Asol, a ship with crimson sails will come for them, and a prince will marry them immediately and solve all their problems. But this is the same jackalope, a fantasy that exists only in the subtle plane, not in reality. And girls and grown women transfer this fantasy to the physical plane. They sit and wait for it to happen, for a prince to come for them. They suffer from the fact that it doesn't happen. They don't realize that it's just a figment of their imagination, a fantasy. When the master finished speaking, a brown-eyed young man with a bush of reddish hair raised his hand. May I give another example? He said, looking questioningly at the guardian of knowledge. Certainly, Roman, he nodded, giving the student the word. I had a friend. We studied together at college, Roman started speaking. One day he had a crazy idea that he should win a large sum of money from a sports bar. You should have seen how much effort he put into this idea. He spent all his free time calculating probabilities, constantly watching football games, reading articles by some experts, even making his own predictions. He took all the money he had, borrowed money from his parents, earned some extra money, and wasted it all on failing bets. He was so sure that in just a little while longer, he would be rich. He didn't care about anything else. As a result, he sold the apartment he inherited from his parents and was left with nothing. He was deeply depressed. Now he lives only thanks to antidepressants. So that was his jackalope, too. The guardian of knowledge nodded, confirming the student's guess. Right. Your buddy was looking for his fantasies in the physical plane. And they weren't here. That's what started his misery. What about, for example, buying an apartment with a mortgage? Mila suddenly asked. Couldn't it be a search for a jackalope? Yes, it can, the master confirmed. It's also an illusion, which is formed, for example, by advertising. People look at the flyer and think they will also become like the smiling family. All it takes is a 20-year loan. I even witnessed a real example of this, Mila continued. A friend of mine always thought, my husband and I will buy an apartment with a mortgage, and then we'll live happily ever after. And so they got this mortgage. Her husband then said to her, honey, put your name in the papers. What difference does it make to you? I'll still have to pay. She did what he told her, but he started drinking and got fired from his job. She was struggling with the mortgage on her own. They started fighting. So she decided that they should have a child, and then things would get better, and her husband would stop drinking, find a job and, of course, that didn't happen. Radha asked, listening to the woman's story with evident empathy. Her lively emotions reflected beautifully on her young face. It didn't happen. Mila shook her head sadly. Things only got worse. Her husband started beating her, and she was forced to divorce him. As a result, she was left alone with a child and a mortgage. Yes, unfortunately, it often happens, the master said. The main thing is to understand the essence. Something we imagined and invented does not necessarily have to become reality. And to think differently is to chase after the mythical jackalope, which exists in our heads only. Another illusion is to think, oh, he'll definitely change, said Elena, waiting for the master to give her a sign to continue speaking. It seems to me that every woman has thought about her husband that way at least once. Right. Did I get the point? She looked at the sage for an answer. Yes, that's exactly right. A lot of women think, he'll be different after the wedding. Then the child will be born, and he will change. He will start to love and respect me more. He will stop cheating on me. The sage paused and looked attentively at his students. It's a very common illusion that ends up causing people a lot of suffering. People also think, now my alcoholic husband will stop drinking, Elena added. My ex-colleague Nina was exactly like that. A tragic story, she agreed to marry her future husband Igor only on one condition. If he stopped drinking and smoking. He agreed, and they had a sober wedding. Igor endured it, but when the guests left, he changed drastically. He put a knife to Nina's throat because of the non-alcoholic celebration, smashed things against the walls, and kicked her while she slept. She immediately packed her bags and filed for divorce. But after a while they reconciled. He came and apologized. She thought he would change, and accepted him back. They began to live together again, but after the first argument, Igor decided to bring back the same old insults. He threatened her and made her drink vinegar. She tried to climb out the second floor window. She climbed up the railing, but fell off. Now she has 5 stitches on her head, a broken heel, and will have to have surgery on her spine. The students responded to Elena's story. They began to talk animatedly, trying to express the outrage that overwhelmed them. How can there be such bastards in the world? Rada exclaimed indignantly. How could they be trusted? She should have run as far away as possible after the first time he beat her. That's why we need to get rid of illusions as soon as possible, to get free from these products of a sick imagination, said the master. We should stop looking for the jackalope and start developing and actively running upwards. After the last phrase, he again pointed at the figure of the man who was going up the escalator, and the students gazed again at the painting. Who do other people on the escalator symbolize? Maxim asked. The 2 young women in the middle are people who live their lives carelessly and do not even think about what will happen in the end, the sage answered. This family, he pointed to the man and woman fighting with each other, also represents various vices. They have unhealthy habits, he nodded at the man with the beer belly, and aggression, anger toward each other, and the lack of selectivity that must have led to it. The woman grabbed hold of the first man who told her he loves her. Neither of them understands that because of this decision and their habits, nothing good awaits them ahead. No one realizes that they should run up the stairs and be happy to have such an opportunity to do so. Thank you for the clarification, Master, Mila thanked. She tossed back her golden hair and looked at the sage with trepidation. Can I ask you another question? You said that you should not just run up the escalator, but pull others behind you. I understand this in such a way that you have to gather a group of people, awaken them, hold classes, meditate, etc. She suddenly stopped for a moment, collecting her thoughts. But there are people in the group who may pull others down, she continued after a pause. What's the right thing to do? If you can see that a person is pulling everyone down, should you let them go so that they don't get in the way of others? The guardian listened to her next question and looked at her warmly. It often happens that people start practicing and then quit, he explained calmly, without a trace of condemnation. Someone can't stand the pace of the classes and stops, falls off, stops doing exercises and attending the group. Such people inevitably begin to degenerate. Because you can't just stand on an escalator and stay in one place. It is impossible to live without activity, without effort, because you will immediately be pulled down. Our task is precisely to pull people up. But we certainly must understand that not everyone will go. There will be those who want to continue to degrade. There will be those who begin to move up the escalator, but then decide to stop. We should strive to make sure that everyone goes up. Such a good wish, a good intention, gives us more strength and energy to let all people to the light. What kind of life in the subtle plane awaits the students who stop? Mila asked. Will they have to always be away from the master? Or do they still have a chance to understand everything, to repent and come closer to him? Of course, in the subtle plane, an epiphany will come to them, the master said, and his lips curved in a light, slightly sad smile of a man who knows what will happen, but cannot change it in any way. But the person will remain at the level that they reached in life. If they did not experience sublime emotions, but only negative ones. Selfishness, anger, revenge, judgment, envy, then such a person falls down to the low level. They seem to understand everything, but their level remains low and they cannot change it. What about those who had sublime thoughts and emotions? Radha asked, raising her hand again. Where do they go? Those who developed themselves, who lived for people, who had sublime thoughts and emotions all the time, reach a very high level. Answered the guardian of knowledge, carefully choosing words that would allow his students to understand better, to imagine and feel everything he wanted to convey to them. And there is more light, more bliss. These souls grow closer to God. When the guardian paused to allow his students to think about his words, a broad-shouldered, tan young student with a neat beard raised his hand. Great one, please tell me if I understand this correctly, he began. After the body dies, the soul enters a certain level of the subtle plane. Every soul experiences an epiphany there, but nothing can be changed. Yes, Mark, you understand everything correctly, the master responded, giving a warm smile to his student. But you wanted to ask something else, didn't you? Yes, the man nodded. Tell me, what happens to such a soul which falls to the low level? Does it stay there, in agony and disappointment from the lost opportunities? A person immediately realizes everything in the subtle plane, the sage started explaining. One realizes that they did not do the things they should have done. They realize that they didn't develop, didn't accumulate worthy tendencies. Such an epiphany comes, but the level remains low, the level which they deserve in this life. It turns out that such a soul has to work on transforming the bad tendencies. That is, they have to go back to Earth, where they have to do everything all over again like new, to fight laziness, egoism and inertness. All these problems will have to be realized and overcome. No one knows whether or not a master will come along the way. If he doesn't overcome them, will the person go back down the escalator and fall into the pit? Radha asked, pointing to the painting. If they don't find someone to help them wake up, it's likely that they will suffer through life again, and in the end they will say, I was never happy. Maybe people are lying. Happiness doesn't exist. I seem to have done everything as my mother says, but for some reason the happiness never came. The person will not make the necessary efforts to run upward, so in the end, a pit awaits them, just like others. After finishing his answer, the sage looked again at everyone, waiting for more questions. This time it was Elena who raised her hand again. Master, she said in a soft voice, I have a feeling, I don't know if it's right, doubtfully. She looked at the sage, who gave her a look of support, and she continued. It seems to me that those who have already managed to go up the escalator, but then fall down, will have more pain than those who went up a little and did not understand anything at all. The guardian of knowledge was silent, pondering the answer. Such a person often does not even understand and does not realize the horror of their fall, he said after a short pause. How does it happen? The student wondered. Why does it happen? Because the person thinks that the fall is their growth and development, the master explained with a touch of regret. It happens because students blind themselves with negative thoughts and self-justification. They think that there is something wrong in the school, that there is something wrong with the master, that they were not allowed to develop and express themselves. They think, now I finally understand how to do it right. Now I'm going to create something unimaginable. Now I'm going to prove myself. Such students think that they are not falling down, but on the contrary, that they are developing, reaching a new level. They come up with so many ideas and start so many different pursuits. It is true that nothing works for them without support, without a group, without a master. But a person blinds themselves so much that they do not even see how low they have fallen. They do not see that they have stopped going up the escalator, that it is taking them down into the pit. Great one. What can help such lost students to continue their development? Alexander asked, meeting the sage's eyes. A person will not continue developing until they face complicated situations, and they start to see themselves at that very moment, the master explained in a calm, even voice that had the certainty, power, and harmony of the universe itself. Even if a person starts doing something they are interested in, they may avoid difficult situations and try to hide from them, instead of working on themselves, changing for the better and developing. Such a person cannot even realize the horror of their fall. The guardian finished and paused once more. He looked at the students, giving them the opportunity to settle the knowledge they had received in their heads. He saw that many of them still wanted to ask questions. He made a gesture towards Svetlana, who had already participated in the conversation, but now wanted to ask what seemed to be an especially important question. "Master, you say that the more you run, the easier it gets," she began from the back of the room. "I began to think about why this happens, and then the idea came to me that it is because of the person's identifications. If a person identifies with their social roles, with their body, and with their desires, then these identifications are like shackles, metal chains to restrain the flesh. The more you throw them off, the easier it is to run. To start climbing, you need to get rid of the identifications, and then you can move with no burden. Am I right or not?" After the woman asked her question, she froze, looking at the guardian of knowledge with deep respect and awe. It was obvious that the master's answer was very important for her, that it would help her to not stop and keep climbing up the escalator. "Svetlana, this is the correct understanding," smiled the sage. "Our identities are like iron shackles that society has put on us. They pull us down. They don't allow us to develop, and they don't allow us to enjoy running. Master, can I provide an example?" Mark suddenly asked. "About how identities prevent us from moving forward." He looked expectantly at the sage and continued after his approval. "I have an older brother. I tried to wake him up so often. I kept inviting him to class. And you know, he didn't seem to mind, but he always said, 'I don't have time. It's a hard right now, I have to feed my family.' And there was never an easy time for him. Another day I invited him and he said, 'I haven't sold the products yet. I bought a lot, I need to sell out. I'll go when I sell everything.' All the time, something was preventing him and he didn't start walking up the escalator. So, as a result, he didn't take control of his life, didn't get active, didn't start making an effort to learn how to run. He still swims with the tide. It's a good illustration of how people cannot overcome their identifications," the master commented on Mark's story. "One must let go of all these things. They must become unimportant. One must stop waiting for the grass to grow. Stop hoping things will somehow change without effort. And then one can begin to develop." "Master, does this mean that you have to be serious about development and not be serious about everything else?" asked Radha, who, like the rest of the class, was still following the conversation attentively. "That's right," smiled the sage. A half-serious attitude to development cannot produce serious results. Therefore, if a person takes their social roles, attitudes and patterns of society, and their false identities seriously, one cannot develop. They must take everything lightly, but seriously develop. Then real growth will come. Tell me, is it possible to perceive a step on the escalator as a negative quality from which you free yourself and walk a little higher? Elena asked. That's the association that popped into my head. Certainly. Even if you just realize that we have this negative quality in us and understand it, you already go a step up. Because a person often doesn't want to understand it. They embellish every negative quality, try to find an excuse and disguise it. They do not realize that it is a bad quality. When a person understands that, then they can do something about it and start to develop. As long as one thinks that this is some kind of virtue, development will be impossible. How can one think, for example, that being idle and overeating is a good thing? Radha asked with surprise. Or that it's good to be selfish, Maxim added. This happens often. People buffer themselves in such a way that they see such a quality as their strongest trait, as an advantage, not as a disadvantage, the sage explained, and this prevents them from understanding that this is exactly the quality that should be fought against. Master, tell me, what energy allows a person to walk up all the time? Elena asked a new question. A person cannot run upwards all the time without energy. Yes, you are right, it is impossible. The master answered gently and started explaining. I told you that you need to develop with joy, so that it brings you pleasure. When you try to develop through forcing yourself, you do not succeed. The morning comes and you think, oh, I have to get out of bed again. Again I have to do my exercises. This laughter meditation, I don't have time for it right now. I'm in such a gloomy state. How am I going to laugh in the morning? Something's not right here. That is, you do everything without joy or enthusiasm. Even if you start, it looks something like this. All right, ha ha ha, the master said the three has in a curt and emphatically unemotional, mechanical way. Imitating a student who cannot tune in and fully devote oneself to the process. This exaggeration looked so amusing that smiles flashed across students' faces. That's what kind of laughter meditation they managed to do, the guardian of knowledge kept explaining. That is, they do everything as if under pressure, forced by someone, without enjoying it. Because they are not tuned correctly. And then instead of running upward cheerfully, they will dream, when will I stop and start degrading? They think about it all the time and can't develop. Beloved Master, what should we do about such people? Alexander asked, stepping forward a little. Or, what to do if suddenly one notices such tendencies in oneself? If one sees these tendencies in themselves, one should become very angry with themselves. One must begin to exaggerate oneself, to laugh at oneself, and to repent. That is, a person must do whatever it takes to dissociate themselves from these tendencies. Only then can we deal with them. And as long as we don't see the separation between us and our ugliness, laziness and selfishness, we can't change anything. Once we have created a gap between our I and our identifications, our negative qualities, we can start fighting it. Alexander listened to the master with attention and gratitude, and when the master finished his explanations, the young man dared to ask one more question. does it happen? He began somewhat timidly at first, as if doubting whether he should ask. But as he was explaining, he became more and more sure of his thoughts and emotions. That one runs on the escalator only because one is in the spiritual environment, and everyone beside them is running too. Everyone runs at the same speed, everyone is disciplined. And, you can't seem to fall behind in that group. But you don't really have a true motivation to develop. And you don't even understand what it is to want to develop. One just runs because everyone else is doing it, and they swear on the way. How to feel, to see the light ahead. To want to develop in such a way that even if no one around you runs, but on the contrary, everyone pulls you back, you still want to strive for God, upward. Alexander finished his lengthy question and was ready to listen, waiting for Sage's explanation. All people want to be happy, but they do everything to be unhappy, the guardian of knowledge spoke weightily, paused to give his students an opportunity to comprehend his words, and then continued. You should understand this. I want to be happy, but in the state I am in now, with those emotional reactions, with these thoughts, with laziness and selfishness, it is impossible to become happy. In this state I can only be unhappy. Because I lived among people who have suffered, who have been miserable, and they have instilled all this in me. These thoughts, reactions and laziness. So, to be happy, you have to free yourself from these reactions, thoughts and negativity. Alexander asked again. And, if I become free, then I'll be happy. Yes. Then one wakes up and begins to understand. This is my light, this is what I am striving for. One begins to think about how to become happy, how to reach sublime emotions, a joyful state, and fulfillment. One begins to take control of their life, to make an effort, and becomes active. One realizes that this can be achieved only through development. The guardian was silent again for a moment, looked at the canvas with the escalator depicted on it, and then shifted his gaze to the students, who were standing nearby in a semicircle, absorbing the knowledge. It turns out that we all run up the escalator, but in fact it's you who is pulling us up, Radha said emotionally. So we are all holding on to you. There are a lot of us, a lot of people, and everyone is responsible for how tightly they hold on. If we let go, that's it, we go right down, and the development stops. Yes, Radha, everyone has to understand that it's necessary to develop, that only this will give something good. How long can we remain in bad thoughts? How long is it possible to have negative emotions that torment us? How long can we live in this? A simple step is to start with laughter meditation, and that's when it gets better. If a person understands this, that's when they can truly develop. What if a person never understands this? Then it is very difficult for them to develop. They buffer themselves, close themselves in a shell, and try to remember what their mother taught them. The person becomes more and more unhappy as the years go by. They remember, when was I happy? Oh yes, when I was a child. And why were they happy as a child? The master addressed this question to everyone in the hall, watching the reactions of the students with the half smile of a wise parent who knows the right answer, but wants the child to find the right conclusions on their own. Because they didn't yet develop identifications or have different social roles and attitudes thrust upon them, Alexander answered with a half-questioning intonation. Yes, that's right, the master nodded approvingly. So the more a person obtained these attitudes and patterns of behavior, the more masks they put on and identified themselves with, and the more unhappy the person became. A person needs to see this and become angry with themselves. Then they will realize that there is a way to be happy. And they will start walking this way, at least in small steps. For example, a person will do the laughing meditation correctly. And already at that moment, when they laugh during the meditation, they will become happy. The master nodded at Mila. It was obvious that a realization had just occurred in her head, which she wanted to tell about. "Master," she said excitedly, "I realized something else. It appears that when a person begins to run upward, their surroundings automatically begin to change. That is, other people start to appear around them, like-minded people, who are also running upward. And those who have been around before, they seem to become strangers to the person." "Yes, and it is expected," the guardian confirmed, "because a man moves, runs up, rises, and those who stand still go down and degrade. It appears that relatives, family members and friends all have a choice. Either move up with us, or continue to do nothing, just stand on the escalator and go down into the pit. If they move with us, our paths don't diverge. Otherwise, the gap between us and our loved ones keeps widening. If our loved ones don't develop with us, they inevitably go downward, and you will feel the gap get bigger and bigger. It often happens that our loved ones slow us down and hold us back, so that we do not run away," Mila added, and her voice sounded so bitterly about this state of affairs. "And most often they are our closest relatives," continued the sage, "father, mother, grandmother, grandfather, brothers and sisters, close friends, sometimes our children." "Yes," Mila said enthusiastically, "when I first started taking classes, my parents told me, 'Don't do that nonsense, it's some kind of sect. Get out of there, they will not do any good to you, they are all crooks,'" the girl sighed heavily, remembering the unpleasant moments. "It can happen not only with spiritual development, right, Master?" Roman suddenly asked. "Does something like this happen in the business sphere? For example, let's say people were classmates. First they are all in one class and in approximately equal social conditions. Then, 10 years later, they meet, and it is immediately clear who succeeded in their career and who started drinking alcohol and degraded." "Roman, you've got it right," the sage replied. "This tendency can be observed at all levels of life. In career, relationships and spiritual development. And people who don't want to do anything, don't want to develop, don't want to make an effort, they start to criticize you, condemn you, and don't let you go up the stairs. Not only in the sphere of spiritual development, but generally in life," Radha asked with some surprise. "Yes, remember, as they say to those who start their own business, you'll never make it, you'll go bankrupt, you'll have nothing. Or, for example, a woman who takes an active position and starts looking for a worthy partner is often called immoral, and people are ready to cast dirt at her, because she starts being selective in her search for a partner. Or when a person begins to exercise, everyone around them sits on the couch drinking beer with chips, and even says, 'Where will you run to? Why don't you sit down with us, have a beer and relax?' That is, people do not want to do anything and try to bring their loved ones to the same level. They don't let them break away, don't let them run forward and upward, don't let them increase the gap. When we have realized that we need to run forward, we have to lead others too. Right?" Mila asked. "What if the people closest to us don't want it?" What if all they do is pull and hold us back? Yes, we should all try to pull others up to follow us. But while we are still weak and just beginning our journey upward, the influence of our relatives can be very strong. So, what should we do? Each person faces a choice. Either I surrender to my environment and give up, stop trying to run upward and begin to degrade with everyone else, or I continue to move forward, regardless of anything, no matter the obstacles. Yes, this is often difficult and causes conflicts with those around us. But when a person understands, development is the most important thing in life. Movement is something worth living for, then this comes to the forefront and everything else becomes less important. Master, said Maxim, I remember the story of Buddha. Didn't he also have to leave his former surroundings in order to realize the truth? You are right, Maxim, this is a good example, the sage praised his student. It shows that this was the case at all times, and even before our era, when a great enlightened master lived. Buddha was an ordinary man, though of royal blood. Since his childhood, he was surrounded by luxury and wealth, ate exquisite delicacies, and lived in three palaces. He had a beautiful wife, she was a princess. And, of course, his father, a monarch, hoped that his son would become a ruler, his successor. He tried in every way to keep him on his step, to hold him back, to keep him from climbing up. But Buddha realized that all this luxury, all this wealth and all this power had no meaning for him. He was looking for the meaning of existence. He wanted to go to spiritual development, to go upward. That was more important to him than anything else. Master, does it mean that if our relatives try to prevent us from going upwards, we have to stop communicating with them? Maxim clarified. The sage calmly nodded. The moment of separation is always very difficult, but often we have to do it. For example, it may be necessary to divorce one's husband or wife, or to minimize contact with relatives, friends, and colleagues. But then the person comes to a different environment, one that is more positive, productive, understanding, and spiritually developed. If you do not break away in time, do not overcome the resistance, then the environment will drag you down with it. To overcome this resistance, again, you have to be active and make an effort on yourself. When the sage had finished speaking, the hall was silent. The master's last phrase was still in the minds of the students. One could see it in their eyes, which were shining with understanding and enthusiasm. Today's spiritual conversation in the here and now moment helped them to become happier, to overcome doubts and obstacles, to move confidently along the spiritual path, to grow and develop. Just in that moment, they were all taking a step up the escalator. Summing up the long conversation, the guardian solemnly concluded, "Let us remember the words of Uspensky, a student of the great mystic and enlightened George Ivanovich Gurdjieff." Before his death he said, "Effort, more effort. That's when something will work. Nothing in life will happen without effort. This is why we have to be more active in our development, not passively wait for enlightenment to come by itself. Nothing will change by itself. That is why we need to start right now. And, as Buddha said, on the spiritual path there are only two mistakes. The first is to leave it, and the second is never to start." In the gaze of the guardian, one could sense absolute love, support, and a supreme desire to help, to awaken everyone, to lead, and all the students felt the utmost clarity, understanding, and deep inner joy in their hearts. Breathlessly, they listen to the master's words. Don't yield yourself to the power of emotions, no matter if it is the day of light or sorrow, they will drive you to madness and the pit of fiery passions. Don't push away a clever thought that saves you from darkness, cease being a slave of your feelings, for people are famous for their strong mind. You won't find a blissful state in the stench of sins, you'll find your way to the truth if you stop worshipping your desires. You will find your bliss in the beautiful power of perfection and in the striving to know yourself. This bliss will stay with you forever.
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge and books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website www.amazon1.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.